This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's coming up to 12:06 in the afternoon on Monday, the 3rd of October. You're tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Lily Chai, and
Frida Liu. Mm-hmm.
You're nodding your head. Mm-hmm. Right. Today, we are talking about how to cultivate our youth's interest in science, technology, and innovation. Why are we talking about this? Because there is always this question. Our youth's equipped with sufficient digital skills when most of our businesses are moving towards digitalization. And together with the recent study by DOSM that shows nearly 70% of our SBM graduates not wanting to further their studies in tertiary education, what should we be doing to address this? So there are a few factors coming to this situation, and we'll be on the line with an expert. He is Dr. Nagulendran Kangayakarasu, the Deputy Secretary General at MOSTI, to join us to discuss the factors to this situation and the various initiatives being put forward to encourage the interest in science, technology, and innovation among our youths. So in recent news, there were various articles reporting that the DOSM's statistics that 70% of post-SBM students will not be furthering their studies in tertiary education. So following these findings, the Ministry of Science, Technology, and Innovation, MOSTI, has instructed the Academy of Sciences Malaysia to look into this. So MOSTI Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Adam Baba said that the numbers need to be studied, and if proven true, it signifies a worrying trend as this could derail the government's plan to make Malaysia a high-tech nation by 2030.
Wow, so this is 70%, right? And this is the DOSM statistics, and that's kind of scary. Proven true, not too sure how the statistics come about then. So the result of these findings will also be tabled to government so follow-up actions can be taken. There needs to be a closer look at the possible factors behind this worrying trend and also creating approaches that needed to tackle the sharp drop in interest to higher education. In the meantime, MOSTI is engaging with students, youths, teachers and parents to try to raise awareness of science, technology, innovation through various initiatives, one of which is the Malaysia Tech Olympics 2022 with an aim to reach over 1 million participants aged 7 to 30 years old.
Right, so besides just the STEM, S-T-E-M approach to higher education, so TVET is also the upcoming strong contender based on the technology sector market demands. So industries are counting on TVET graduates for their skills that span across various industries. So these include supporting operations requiring automation and technological transformation. Tan Sri So Tian Lai, the president for the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, says that there is a great demand among the electrical and electronics, F&B, among others, and rubber products industries due to the nature of their products and processes. And some subsectors are also seeing a spike in demand for new products that require an increase in capacity and expansion plans. So he also added furthermore that the country's aspiration to move forward to become a more knowledge-based, high-tech and high-value value-added economy has added to the demand for a more skilled labour.
Now, we've actually touched on the state of Malaysia's TVET education in one of our previous interviews. Now, if you're interested to hear about it, you can look for the podcast titled Will TVET Help Address Malaysia's Need for Skilled Talents on our website or through the BFM app, which is available both on the Apple App Store and Google Play.
Now, in today's global market, which includes Malaysia, a new generation of workers are actually joining the workforce and taking over what's termed as a new-collar job. So the word new-collar originated from IBM's CEO, Jenny Rometty, and this new classification evolved from the challenges faced when it comes to hiring for technical jobs, which includes like cloud computing technicians, database managers, cybersecurity, and other IT roles. The broader definition for new-collar workers are identified as those who go through non-traditional education pathways to work in technology jobs. So these pathways can include like software boot camps, technical certification programs where you can, you know, do online. And then there are also like high school technical education as well, and vocational training, which can develop the skills necessary to work in the technology industry. So besides companies in the tech industry experiencing hiring issues, right, companies in the manufacturing and healthcare industry are also feeling the labor crunch, and they are looking looking to, you know, hiring the, within the new collar category. And some of the skills in demand are digital skills to run automation, software, robotics, big data analytics and maintenance. And other new collar jobs are like ultrasound technicians, dental assistants, service delivery analysis and analysts and so on.
Right. So how should businesses tweak their hiring process when it comes to hiring new collar talent? So there needs to be a shift in strategies from traditional methods of hiring based on college education, degrees and former job experience. These strategies involve looking beyond what's in the resume and harnessing potential of experience and academics. Hiring managers should list down traits and skills necessary for the job and develop an interview process that includes assessments of these traits and skills. Work experience indicating required learning for new software technical skills can provide insights into an applicant's ability to learn and adapt, which is an important attribute in the modern work environment. Other essential considerations should include a growth mindset, technical aptitude, initiative, and the ability to solve problems.
Right, so training and development programs should also be a key component for any business, especially in today's job market. So there are a lot of positives to having these programs, but in today's market, right, it is vital for both attracting and developing your employees. And training programs for new employees, like internships, and existing employees can help them upskill towards new collar jobs which align with their actual job functions. And there are also a need to be a collaboration with the community, the schools, and the current workforce to develop such programs and new sources to prepare future job candidates for these new collar jobs. And this also means that HR and management need to shift job requirements away from just, you know, college degrees and experience towards, you know, exploring new criteria for hiring.
Right. So I'm looking at this, and based on that survey, when 70% say they don't want to pursue their studies, it's worrying, right? Whether it's STEM or not, right now they don't even want to pursue.
All right.
So what are they doing? Are they thinking that Grab is, being a Grab driver?
They want to be YouTube influencers. That's what that was like one of their choices, I think.
Right.
But yeah, but it is, I wouldn't blame them because it looks like good
money. It looks like easy money.
Correct.
Yeah,
you're, you know, taking pictures by the pool and then it looks like that, right? But in reality, how difficult it is. Influencers know themselves that it's not easy to get where they are right now, right? But looking at that, I think it's not so much about how to create STEM in the system. It's about, you know, I actually have a few students, they are interested in STEM, but I think it's that they're looking outwards, international universities.
Right.
Why is that the thing, right? Why are we not looking inwards into our own universities to do that? Why are we not providing enough programs for that? Yeah, that is a question that I think we need answers to. But we do have a question for you, for those who are tuning in. For business owners or entrepreneurs, what is the most important attribute that you look for when it comes to hiring? Is it the academic qualifications of someone that you want to employ, or is it somewhere else? Is it something else that you look for? Do share your thoughts with us if you have any. You can reach us on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And after the break, we'll be joined by Dr. Nagu, the Deputy Secretary General at MOSTI, to discuss the factors behind why our SBM graduates are not wanting to further their studies in tertiary education, and also the ministry's effort to encourage more participation in the field of science, technology and innovation. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Billions from me, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You're tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Lily Chai, and
Frida Liu.
Now, if you just joined us, we are talking about how to cultivate our youth's interest in science, technology, and innovation. Because we're always asking the question, are our youths equipped with sufficient digital skills when most of our businesses are moving towards digitalization? Now, this is also coupled with the statistic by Dawson saying that almost 70% 70% of our SPM graduates not wanting to further their studies in tertiary education. But we do have a question for you. We're asking, as business owners or entrepreneurs, what is the most important attribute that you look out for when it comes to hiring people? Is it the academic qualifications, or is there something more that you look for? Do share your thoughts with us. If you have any, you can reach us at WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have an expert on the line with us. It is Dr. Nagu Landrin, Kangayat Karasu, the Deputy Secretary General at MOSTI, to discuss why our SPM school leavers do not want to further their studies and the ministry's effort to encourage more participation in the field. Now, Dr. Nagu, based on the recent news, the 70%, right? This is a very worrying trend. What do you think are the key factors that are contributing to the lack of interest by SPM leavers to further their studies?
Well, that figure 70%, we need to verify. I mean, we noticed the local media picked it up, but we have asked our Academy of Sciences to really deep dive into the data, whether that 70% is really reflective of what's really currently going on. Because data that we have, we show that there's not been a change in the trend of university students going on to university. But while we are on the topic, I think students are also thinking, right? I mean, while we need to verify the data, but I think there's also a rethinking among our students whether a tertiary education will give them a value-added life moving on forward, you see? Because there are a lot of other competing, interesting ecosystem that they like to go on, like gig economy, and also become social media influencers and all that, which probably brings back returns quite quickly. So that are things that I think the students are looking at. And because many of them also are thinking, looking at their seniors, whether their seniors have been better off after a tertiary education. Post-pandemic, I think this question is becoming more apparent. And we need to look at what interventions we can do to make sure that our university still remains relevant. So that's why I think there are efforts, not just globally, but also in Malaysia, to make universities more inclusive through translational research. I mean, translating research into something that's useful. So we'll talk more a bit about that, how MOSTI is helping out in that segment of making university life more meaningful. Maybe we can go on straight away to that, because I think one of the things that MOSTI has is we have got some kind of grants. We've got grants, Applied Innovation Fund. So when you're a final year student, your research, usually you do a research, you produce a thesis, and many a times it stays on the shelf. So what you're trying to tell students, universities, you can apply for a grant. It's up to 50,000 ringgit. While it doesn't sound much, but that could help you try to make your research more useful, and you probably could commercialize something along the way. I mean, and then we've got grants to then take you on to the next phase to startups. We've got an agency called Cradle that can help innovations that are produced to allow young graduates who would like to go into starting their own business to start up a startup. So that's interventions that MOSTI is looking at, yeah.
Right. You know, Dr. Nagu, the 60-40 target ratio for science and arts, which was mooted back in 1967, seems to be an elusive target based on current trends. So are these numbers still applicable in today's day and age?
Well, that target still is there. I do agree that that target is still there, and you're correct. The target is going down. I mean, the latest report from my colleagues in the Ministry of Education, the 2021 enrollment of students doing science in Form 4 has slipped to 36%, 36.6 to be exact. And if you compare that to 2011 we had 48.75. So there's a gradual decline in students interested in science, technology, and mathematics. And from the survey that we have done, we realized that students just simply think that learning science is difficult. And there's also this notion that science jobs don't give you back the best of returns when you start working. So these two are the challenging ecosystem that we are facing, where students are dropping off science. Hence, that's why MOSTI comes in. We need to complement the work that's done by the Ministry of Education and Higher Education to make science more fun. And we need to tell that science transcends many disciplines. And that's why Mursi is complementing the efforts by those ministries by informal learning interventions.
Right. Should we then be reviewing these numbers based on today's market? And should we be calibrating these numbers?
Right. I mean, I feel we have segmented life as science and arts. It's like two distinct blocks. But I think moving forward, I think we need interdisciplinary studies where science, arts overlaps. And I think this is the way to go forward. So while the target needs a proper review, I think we need a proper review. But I think we also want to take the conversation to interdisciplinary research. So now more and more in a university setting, like if you're doing research on wild elephants in Malaysia, people are also getting people from the art stream to come and do social studies so that when you get a study, you get a more holistic output from those kind of studies. So I think that are areas that I think our universities and our secondary school education should start looking at the emergence of this confluence between science and arts. That's something that we really need to look at, not putting them in two distinct blocks.
So are there more ways for the school system to play a role encouraging a shift towards at least considering tertiary education after leaving school?
Right. I think the traditional pathway in most of our Eastern societies for going to universities to take on a degree, right? I think that's very traditional in our... But I think we also want to make TVET interesting. So you see, all the time people have looked at TVET as something secondary, but in the new education system right here in Malaysia, through our education blueprint, we are trying to make university and TVET as equally recognized and interesting. And from what we are doing in Mosti, we are, this year, we have got a little bit of funds to do a program called Deep Tech and Future Skills, where we are trying to retrain people who lost their jobs, university students who have not got a job placement, to trying to match them with industry. And this is what the government is doing through Mosti to look at cutting edge technologies, because sometimes when an engineer comes out, the industry probably needs them to have a particular skill. So we are retraining them giving a placement in the industry or through some training programs that we provide. They get a certificate. These micro certificates then will help them probably get a job in a related field. So this retraining has to happen. But back to your question on what schools are doing to get students more interested in universities, I think that pathway is, as I said earlier, is a pathway that's always been there. But I think what needs to happen also is students need to get on to universities. And some universities have started when a student gets on to final year, their final year projects are matched with the needs of the industry so that they become more readily available when to meet the job market. So I think that are some of the initiatives been done.
Right. We do have a few more questions for you, but we do need to take a break for some messages. We are speaking to Dr. Nagulendran Kangayat Karasu, the Deputy Secretary General at Mosti, to discuss the factors behind why our SPM school leavers do not want to continue their studies, and also the ministry's effort to encourage more participation in the field of science and technology and innovation as well. And of course, for you who are tuning in, we are asking you, as a business owner and entrepreneur, what is the most important attribute that you look for when it comes to hiring? Is it their academic qualifications, or is it something else that you look at? You can reach us on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. You're tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Lily Chai, and
Frida Liu.
If you just joined us, we're talking about how to cultivate our youth's interest in science, technology, and innovation. We're talking about this because we are always asking a question if our youth are equipped with sufficient digital skills when most businesses are actually moving towards digitalization. And coupled with this is the problem of, 70% of our SPM graduates not wanting to further their studies in tertiary education. Mm. So, before the break, we were talking to Dr. Nagulendran Kangaya Karasu, the Deputy Secretary General at MOSTI, to discuss the factors of this situation and the various initiatives to put forward to encourage the interest among youths to pursue science, technology and innovation. But we do have a question for you. If you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, what is the most important attribute you look out for when it comes to hiring? Is it your academic qualification or is it something else? You can share your thoughts with us on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Right. We got a comment, a voice message from Fu here. I haven't finished listening to your voice message, but Fu said he's a business owner. He says academic qualifications are important. So just the earlier part of the voice message, we'll get to it all of it at the end, but you did say that it is important.
Right. We will finish that voice clip and come back to what he had said. But Dr. Nagu is still on the line with us. So to continue the conversation, right, you did mention that grants and the Deep Tech Initiative earlier on. What are some other flagship programs that MOSTI is rolling out to foster an appreciation for science, technology and innovation at various levels of the society?
So while we have this reskilling, upskilling through deep tech and future skills, and while we have grant opportunities to even take you right from universities to probably groom you into be a young entrepreneur, and then we have got the cradle funds, what we're doing, we're also doing to complement Ministry of Education and Higher Education informal learning. We're trying to make science fun. And to make science fun, we are introducing two flagship programs that we have, namely is Minggu Sains Negara Keluarga Malaysia, which is a yearly program that we do. But this year, we've got a brand new program called Tech Olympic. Tech Olympic is virtually Olympics in science. Tech Olympics virtually has got this very interesting tagline. We try to connect students. We make them compete and celebrate their victory when they do games in science. The idea of Tech Olympics is actually to take them out of a formal sitting environment, to let them get more hands-on, to solve problems. So, you know, we've got this National Science Policy, National Science Technology Innovation Policy that runs up to 2030. So Malaysia has been a user of technology, but in that policy, there's this grand challenge that we need to become a creator of technology. So to do that, we need to get kids to be problem solvers. Through Tech Olympic, what we have done is we have given big five areas to cover, right from space to drone, to even things of environment and societal challenges. And we have got questions, and we try to get youth and school children from 7 till 30 years old to come up with innovative ideas, how to solve problems by creative thinking. So we hope at the end of the day, we can get about 2,000 ideas. And this Tech Olympic, we are targeting about 1 million participation. And as of yesterday, we have exceeded our 1 million participation. So we've got 1,200,000 plus now, I think. And I think from my interaction with the students, right, from primary school, secondary, and also tertiary, when they're in this setting, it's very exciting because they come up with fresh ideas to solve problems. Like we say, okay, now global warming is happening. How will you redesign the homes? You know, our homes are changed a lot. While the Malay community had actually had a home in the way good old days, the Rumah Melayu, right, was the most climate resilient home. It's built on stilts. It's got very big windows, so you get very good aeration. So it's very interesting to see kids come up with ideas to solve these kind of problems that challenges the country, right? So we hope through these kind of interventions, we'll get more creative thinking. But what we're also doing with Tech Olympic is we're also teaching them some soft skills. So while you can come up with all these solutions, but you must be able to sell them. So we're also helping them to communicate, how to communicate, how to translate their product into something that the layman can understand. So we're building all these skills. And we also, because we have different schools together, we're also trying to get them to network. We are hoping that we'll get some great ideas that can be commercialized.
Right. Thanks, Dr. Nagu. You know, because your comment there, very interesting, right, about how they can learn new skills and critical thinking and networking is collaboration from different schools. I think that's the way forward. And, you know, Fu earlier on was sent us a WhatsApp. He says that although academic qualifications are important, are they coachable? Are they teachable? Because if someone comes in with the academic qualifications but are not teachable, also attitude, right, you also have to hire for attitude. So, but based on your Paralympics road trips, Dr. Nagu, and engagement with various stakeholders, right, including the teachers. What are your observations in terms of obstacles and opportunities in Malaysia?
So Techlympic, we wanted to do it as inclusive as possible. So we have had over 60 outreach. We went to Orang Asli Kampungs. We went to people with different abilities. So we got all these different segments of communities to be involved. And every time is also a learning experience for us in Mosti and our partners in Meranti, because I think when we work with Orang Asli kids, we need to understand what they need. I mean, we cannot bring a module that works in the town to these people, to these children. And actually, they have amazing creativity as well, because they have been living in the forest and they've got different needs. So our observation is maybe we have to work with the Ministry of Education a bit more to have more experiential learning. Because we see a burst of joy when they get to do their own solar car and they see the car moving. So I think to complement the formal education that happens in school, we need to have more modules of experiential learning. Hence, through Techlympic, we have trained close to 6,000 teachers, 5,800 to be exact, teachers who then can be our conduit to further on these programs in schools all around Malaysia. So the challenges that we are facing, of course, we've got a lot of schools, we've got nearly 10,000 over schools in Malaysia, is to reach to deeper areas. But I think we can do that through training of trainers. And our wish is we hope Techlympic can be continued next year. So we're all waiting anxiously for October 7 to listen to the budget speech to see whether we'll get budget for next year to continue this program that we think has provided us with a lot of success, at least with the 7 to 30-year-old group, yeah.
Right. So what are some of the key learnings from these engagements? And what are other short-terms and mid-term measures that the ministry is taking to inculcate science, technology and innovation?
We have to start with the primary school children, because then they move on to secondary. And then, as we all know, the movement on the sliding, right, in Form 4, the numbers are going down. So some of the learning points is, I think we have to start them young, make science exciting. The other thing that we need to really understand is science is best learned in their own language. So I think we need to bring back the use of Bahasa Malaysia wherever possible so that they understand. You know, once you understand science, you fall in love with science, then I think the journey is much easier. I mean, introducing English is good, but I think we need to do it in a very proper manner. I mean, we have to do it in a manner that they don't get afraid of science because now you're introducing a language that I'm not very comfortable with. So I think this kind of interventions need to be done. This was some of the learning that we got. Moving forward is, I think we want to make people understand that science is just everywhere. It's not just sending rockets or doing this or doing some genetic engineering science, but science can also be done to solve everyday problems. That's why in our Techlympic, we've got those elements in to make students look at problem around them and try to provide solutions. So something else that Mosti is doing is social innovation, something that is quite big in Mosti now. We are promoting social innovation. Social innovation is looking at local challenges, trying to get local challenges to be solved by local solutions, which probably to have national and global benefits. So we hope that children who do this then can go on into different loops, such as social innovation, to make science more interesting in a nutshell, yeah.
Right. Dr. Nagu, let's scare the people a bit. What are the risks if something like this is not done today?
Right. You know, Malaysia is a fairly young country. We are 65 years old and we just came out of a pandemic. And I think the pandemic taught us a lot of lessons. We cannot be over-dependent on other countries. We need to start becoming a producer of technology and solutions. In fact, the World Economic Forum in 2020, I think in one of their publications, they said jobs in 2025 are going to be very centric on people who can solve problems and can be innovators. So we hope through interventions like Techlympic, kids will start, we can spark them to be more creative, to start thinking of providing solutions. So if we do not, I think Techlympic was a wise move by the government through Mosti to start injecting this kind of thinking process so that people become more innovative, so that they can then further help the country in a bigger context. Because I think Malaysia's economy needs to move to an innovation-led economy. basing from our understanding and our challenges that we face through the pandemic. So I think TechLympic introduced this year was very timely because we can see the zest of creativity among our young Malaysians, and we need to sustain that along the way from primary, secondary and tertiary so that we can become also a country that produces technology in the future, and I hope not in the too far future.
Okay, right. So, Dr. Nagar, for those who are interested, where can they go find more about Malaysia TechLympics 2022?
Right, the best place is the website. It's techlympics.my, www.techlympics.my, with an S in the TechLympics. That's the best place to go. But we're also very present in Facebook, social media, and many other media that I know younger generation is using, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, so you can get a lot of info from those platforms. And please join us in this journey. For those of you who have not joined TechLympics, a bit of promo from ourselves, do log in, and it's not too late to actually participate in TechLympics. So just to highlight, right, participation, we have got 1 million plus participation. It's over 1 million. But our digital footprint, we have noticed that there are over 17 million people logging on to our website. So that's fantastic. We are very excited by that.
Right. That was Dr. Nagulandran Kangaya Karasu, the Deputy Secretary General at MOSTI. He discussed the factors why our SPM school leavers do not want to continue their studies and the ministry's effort to encourage more participation in the field of science, technology and innovation. If you missed any part of this show, you can of course go ahead on our website at bfm.my or the BFM app that is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play to download the podcast and listen to the whole conversation again. But don't go anywhere. After the 1 p.m. news bulletin, we've got the Breakfast Grill replay. They spoke to Dato Kamaru Ridzwan Muhammad, the founder and group CEO of USMA. So USMA was established back in 2000, oil and gas service and equipment company. USMA Group has set its footprint in Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia and the Philippines. But oil prices have been seeing a prolonged volatility since 2020. So the Breakfast Grill spoke to the founder and the group CEO to understand the impact of the unstable market conditions and what efforts are being taken to detach from black gold. Now, we come to the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow, same place, same time at 12. I'm Lily Chai with Frida Liu, and this has been Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.